Welcome back to Real Phonies, where we take a love for movies and television and combine it with very little knowledge about movies and television. I'm your host, Christian. Joined with me, as always, are my co-host, Joseph.
Hello.
And Jehu. I don't know when this is going to come out. There might be more episodes of X-Men 97, but we're going to talk about only the first four episodes of X-Men 97. Marvel's first foray, really, into mutants since taking it back over. A quasi-sequel to the classic 90s animated series.
Oh, you know, I think it is an actual sequel to the 90s.
Yeah, no, I think it is, too. I mean, I think tonally, it's different.
Yeah. Right.
But character design and everything like that is the same.
I think it's supposed to like build on the story that already existed in the...
It does, but I'm there. There are also some continuity flaws.
Sure.
Charles Xavier's dead, and he leaves the... Well, you know, spoiler alert for the first episode. He leaves the X-Men under Magneto's control, and again, it's just kind of now picking up again, monster, enemy of the week thing that was serialized on this cartoon very many years ago. I don't know, voice actors, no one you care about.
No.
Some people are the same, some people are different.
But they all sound the same.
They all sound the same.
Yeah.
I think Cyclops is different. I don't really know what else to talk about plot-wise of this show. What do you guys think so far?
Oh, man.
Because we probably could take it episode by episode, but let's do that for spoilers.
Okay. I realize that I have a thing where if I get really excited about something, I kind of turn into that kid who likes corn. And that could really happen with this because I fucking loved it.
According to the internet, that guy died.
Really?
Yeah, Corn Kid. I don't know if that's true or not. But
I hope not.
If it's true,
I hope it wasn't corn related.
Yeah. Oh, that would be real bad. Hubris, though.
That's only going to stay in if we fact check this later. And that gets not dead.
I also fucking love this show. I think it's really, really well made. It's so good, in fact. Guys, I don't think I'm going to go back to Invincible for a while. This is checking the animated superhero box for me, and it's only 30 minutes.
Yes.
Whereas Invincible's a fucking hour.
Agreed.
And so, like, the 4 weeks they've both been on, I've watched zero Invincible, and I've watched all of X-Men 97.
I've watched every episode of this twice. That's how much I've enjoyed
shit.
It.
Shit.
Yeah.
What do you think,
The
Justin?
Same thing as watching Invincible.
Right, right.
Well, confession time. I didn't really watch the 90s X-Men show.
Dude, you're not a millennial.
I'm not really. It was like, I don't know why it wasn't quite in my purview, but it never really like came on the channels I was watching, so I never really got invested in my first X-Men property that was like a cartoon was X-Men Evolution, which I fucking love.
Yeah.
But, you know, very, very different.
Right. Was X-Men Evolution supposed to be like a kind of sequel to the original?
I don't think
Charles
so.
Is dead in that.
No, you're thinking of Wolverine in the X-Men.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Yep, yep, yep.
That's fair.
That show's fucking better.
Yes.
So I don't have like any nostalgic attachment to the 90s cartoon. And now that I've watched this, which I think is probably the better version of that, I'm like, I was probably right for that. I'm not sure that I was missing a whole lot. I don't think this show is bad. I don't, you know, it's a superhero cartoon for children.
I don't think it's, that's, if I had to make a complaint, I don't know that it's not for children. The original, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, I tried to go back and watch it, and I said the theme song was doing a lot of heavy lifting for it. It's kind of dumb. Like, it's very much just X-Men fighting Sentinels.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's appropriate for kids. I do think there's way too much of people wanting to fuck each other in this show. That's for children.
There's
everyone wants to fuck each other.
I mean, that's literally my favorite part about it. I wasn't going to get into this, but I feel like I need to rebuke Joseph's point. I'm going to get into my entire history with the X-Men.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
So, I got into the X-Men comics around issue 212, which is like, it's bananas that a kid picked that up and thought, I'm going to continue this. Cause it's the last part of like a 12 part crossover, and it has so much lore that's builded towards it. But for whatever reason, it just arrested my brain.
Can I say her counterpoint? Only a child would do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Only a child would be like, this is good. I'll pick up the rest, surely.
Well, I mean, I had a very, very strict comic book budget at this point. I could get two comics a month. One of them was always Transformers. And the other one, I played the field. If I bought Spider-Man, then the next month I was going to buy the Avengers. Or the next month I was going to buy Thor. But as soon as I bought this, I was a fucking X-Men person. And right after that, I found the X-Men annual that had come out around that time on the stand. I bought in immediately too. I had to do some hard talking with Odell to get that one because I'd already used up my budget. And it was a $1 comic at a time when comics were 75 cents. So, but yeah, at that, I was just on board. And X-Men was my thing for a few years. So we get to, and I should say a big part of that is the writer, Chris Claremont. He's very melodramatic, very soap opery. Everybody wants to fuck everybody in it, you know. You know, very much known for his strong female characters, which I think is really presented in this new show very well. But, you know, he gets ousted in the early 90s. You know, Marvel makes a decision to bet on Jim Lee instead that was short-term smart, long-term almost buried the company. And so a couple years later, we're hearing that there's going to be a new Batman series launched and a new X-Men series launched. And even though I was way out on X-Men comics at the time, I was way more excited about the X-Men cartoon. There was, you know, there'd already been two Batman movies. Batman belonged to the world. X-Men still belonged to comic fans. So, and this kind of gets lost to time since immediately after X-Men debuted, it went on hiatus. Like, they did the first two episodes, like, okay, see you in 6 months. But they premiered very close to each other, maybe even in the same week. And it was just so obvious that fucking Batman animated series was playing chess and fucking X-Men was playing G.I. Joe. Like, it was just so night and day. And I would continue to try with X-Men, but I did not love it. In fact, I kind of hated it. So to your point, I don't think my love of this really is nostalgia because I didn't really like that show.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really, I tell you honestly, if you want to catch up on this, and I've badmouthed this channel before on here when I was in a crabby mood, but it's fine. Screen Crush did like a recap of the entire series in like 28 minutes. Way better than watching the show. Just watch that. But I fucking love this shit, and it really is the first thing to really get that Claremont melodrama. And I've always said, a thing about Marvel Comics, more than any other comics, is they were continuing stories. They were soap operas. They just kept going. And we've had very little media that reflected that. Even the TV shows are more like a movie split into six parts. This feels like that real soapy X-Men. I fucking love it.
It is very soapy now that you mention it. I hadn't quite put that together, but it does feel that way. That said, I do think, like, as far as episode structure, it's pretty efficient as far as like doing a whole fucking story in an episode while having this continuous plot going through the first four.
Well, it's one of the things I really love about it because that shit's gone away. That's an art 100%. Form we do not have anymore of like a 20-minute serial cartoon. It doesn't fucking exist. Now, people could argue with me, but like the cartoons my kids watch now are very similar to, like, I would compare to, like, Ed, Edd n Eddy or Cat Dog or something like that, in that it's a gag. It's not a fucking, like, story.
Right.
It's just, what fucking jokes can we tell for 20 minutes? And that's fine. I love that shit when I was nine. My nine-year-old loves that shit now.
Right.
But where is the Batman the Animated Series?
Right.
And it's funny you brought that up. I think the 97 compares closer to Batman the Animated Series, and the X-Men cartoon, the animated series, whatever, would, like you said, is it's a fucking Transformers or G.I. Joe
cartoon. Exactly. You know, 100%, this is the show I was wishing for in 1993.
The reason I say it's a show for children is because at the end of every episode, somebody sits down to, like, actually explain what the moral of the story was every episode, and I suspect that will continue.
Sure, but I just don't want my kids watching a show where you have to guess, is Rogue going to fuck Magneto or Gambit this episode, or both?
So, I know in this whole thing, like, the white hair is, like, that's just, like, his character. But, like, how old is Magneto supposed to be in this?
We're getting in some deep weeds
here. I know he's fucking a World War II whatever.
Yes.
I know that, but, like, we can't keep doing that forever. So, this is, like, set in the 90s also.
I mean,
he'd still be like 70, 90s.
I think at this point in comics, he had died and been cloned. So that's how they explained it. I don't know how they explain it in this. I just kind of go with it like I do with the X-Men movies, which apparently mutants just age really well.
Yeah. Do we want to guess? Because that dude's fucking biceps are bigger than my head.
Right. He's in great shape.
Can we agree that like the 90s were probably the silliest fucking time for superheroes?
No. Oh, I don't even think that's a hard argument.
Best time.
Just belts and pockets and fucking big beefy dudes. Yeah. And clones out the wazoo.
We love to clone.
Like, so beefy that you're like, how do you move? Like, you know?
We could talk about spoilers. I'm saying better than Transformers. This show is a good time.
Oh, I'm saying way better than Transformers. I had more fun with this than I really expected to. And more fun than I have with most, like, real shows.
Yeah. Where you at?
It's really close to Transformers. I'll give it better than Transformers because I would watch another episode.
I think his new MO is anything we like. The first episode picks up with Cyclops taking over the X-Men, them fighting some Sentinels, and then it's a very kind of similar to the classic show, that first episode. And then you get the twist of actually Magneto's in charge of the X-Men, which is the thing I want to talk about. Fucking Cyclops gets his due in this show.
Sure. Yes.
And I think I might just be too much of a homer, and that might give me some rose-colored glasses, because there's not a character that's been shit on more in live action.
That's so true.
100%.
I will say all of his best fucking moments are in episode one.
The on-meme X-Men after he just laser-eyed his way out of an airplane, fucking excellent.
100%, that was their mission statement. All right off the ground. A lot of this story is going to be based around Cyclops. Let's make him cool in the first episode. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, really, in most other media, including the old show, one of the reasons that Cyclops looks like such a dork is making Wolverine look so cool. And I think they almost like turned Wolverine a little heel in this. Like, he's beyond being a cool guy asshole in this. He's just a fucking asshole
this. He's the least important character.
Yeah.
He's just a little heartbroken asshole is what he is in this.
It's just a weird thought for me, but it's the same voice actor for Wolverine.
Right.
And I was almost like, I wonder if they diluted the character because he can't do it anymore.
I mean, that might very well be it.
You know what I mean? Like, he can't deliver the bub like he used to, you know? Like, you kind of like, well, we'll give you something.
Right. It is so weird. We're talking about, no nostalgia for the specific show, but I also realized I don't have any nostalgia for this era of animation, which they're definitely, like, they're aping with CG, it looks like. A lot of the show is kind of the same style of just a bunch of, again, beefy dudes standing around in some very obviously, like, you know, drawn background and just, like, talking to each other.
Right.
And then every once in a while, they'll do some real fucking fancy camera work in the show. Like that fucking plane thing, the Ferris wheel thing in the next episode. Yeah. And it's so jarring because I'm so used to, like, those cartoons. It's like you're in one place and you move from character to character, but, like, the backgrounds were pretty much the same. You didn't do things. And it feels like this is the same show, but then every once in a while, just something really exciting happens.
Well, that was one thing I was going to say that's definitely an improvement, too. The action has action in it.
Way better.
You know, I will say, I think that maybe, To your point of sometimes it's just people standing there in front of a screen.
Yeah.
I think they should switch aspect ratios. I think they should use the old one, the old TV one, for when they're just standing around farting around, and then switch to the widescreen for the action. Because I think it would show off the fall. That's a thing I go to a lot, though.
Aspect ratio?
Yeah. Well, just that I think not everything looks great in widescreen.
Sure.
It's one of those things that's just like we've painted everything with that brush, but not necessarily do things
always
look better.
I don't really disagree with you, but I could tell you the world disagrees with you.
No, I know that the world disagrees.
They're very annoying about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably the most exciting thing that happens in there.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, is that Magneto turns out. So then the second episode is all about Magneto, I guess, accepting that he's a good guy.
Yes.
Or trying to prove to the world.
I was about
to
say, most of the episode is everybody not believing him.
Yeah.
This episode was a straight adaptation of X-Men 200.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, there was more stuff going in it, but the main plot with Magneto is X-Men 200.
So one of the things that I find jarring going back to the early 2000s X-Men movies is that everybody gets called by their real name except for Storm, who's always Storm.
Right.
And so I like that they call her Aurora in this, but no fucking person in the show says it the same as anybody else.
Yeah.
They should have had a meeting. But they didn't.
In this episode, we start with the Storm losing her powers story, which is, again, a great story from the old X-Men comic. Storm goes from being sort of like, almost this flower on the wall character to she's the most badass X-Men, but she doesn't have powers. So I'm really digging that they're going into that.
Well, and they did a good job of setting themselves up in the episode prior with her introduction.
Right.
Making it like the Omega level.
Oh yeah,
threat.
That she. Yeah. This is the badass one. Yeah. Her entrance in that one is great too.
Yeah, and then to immediately take it away was, I thought, a really good, kind of twist there.
And Mohawk Storm is the best Storm.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That said, it is pretty hilarious to me in the scene. Well, it's in a couple episodes, but there's a scene where she stops being in X-Men clothes and gets on a bus.
Right.
And regular people clothes, but she's still got that 4 foot tall mohawk.
Right. Four foot tall white mohawk.
Yeah.
Like someone would call the cops on her for existing.
It's so fucking cool. They tried it in, what was it, X-Men Apocalypse? I think they gave Storm a mohawk. Not sure it translated well, but maybe that's just that movie. I would still hope when we do Storm in live action, we do Mohawk Storm.
I do too. Yeah, I think just, the stink of that movie might have rubbed off on it.
People don't even remember that movie.
I mean, really, I don't even think most of the people in it remember
I agree.
That movie.
Was it? I think it was that one. Maybe it was Dark Phoenix. One of the two. They're both bad, but Dark Phoenix is significantly worse.
I know it's in Apocalypse for sure. Yeah. No, maybe since the next. Maybe you're right. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
They're both bad.
Yeah.
And then episode 3 is. Fuck.
It's the Jean Grey.
Oh, yeah. Clone. Madeline Pryor, yeah. Jean Grey. That's a deep cut.
They condensed around 100 issues of storyline into that, and it was smoother.
It played pretty well. I thought.
I think
I
you got rid of Bishop too soon. That's my one complaint. Yeah.
I feel like he has to come back, right? Because he just looks so goddamn cool.
Well, is he going to come back with adult Cable though?
He probably is. Yeah. That's a good point.
It's unclear to me. After Mr. Sinister steps in. Makes himself known and is taking over fucking Jean's mind or whatever. How much of that is just him? How much is it programmed? Whatever.
Right.
But and it may be explained in the comics. But after she becomes all evil Jean and whatever, and people start confronting her, she's like, "It is me, the Goblin Queen." Right. Where the fuck did that come from?
I kind of fucking loved it because it made me, Ian and I were texting about it, and he was like, we were like, that's a full cool fucking episode. And I was like, yeah, dude, you should watch New Mutants. It's a pretty fun movie.
Yeah.
It's basically that episode. And there's a magic reference in there as well.
There is, and that actually does, how she became the Goblin King was there's a demon from the New Mutants who sticks his finger in her heart, and then the evil gets in her.
Where's the goblins coming?
Well, because he was a goblin.
Okay.
I like that episode. I thought it was a blast.
I thought that episode was a blast, too. By the way, and also, I think if this was the old show, they would have punked out. Mm. If it was the old show, they would have been the Jean Grey we were already following was the real Jean Grey.
Mm.
But this went like the comics went, that the Jean Grey we were following was actually, Madeline Pryor. Also, we haven't mentioned this yet. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I love Morph's gimmicks. Catty comments and cameos. That works for me.
Yeah, Morph very clearly wants to fuck Wolverine.
Whoa, so what? That shower scene is so horny.
Yeah, it's... I don't think they would do this because it would come across so fucking wrong. But the first time I was like, Morph's not going to show up as Jean Grey, right? That's not gonna happen in this show. Morph got a big old crush for Wolvie. And we talked about, Wolverine just fucking sad over Jean the whole time. It's so annoying. I'm tired of it. All those fucking X-Men movies ruin that story.
I have a strong suspicion they are intentionally just benching Wolverine for a while, but he will get back once the show has more legs under it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I said the thing about the voice actor, but I also wonder if it's the movies, not that the movies have killed that character, but they have given you your fill.
Right. I think they're just trying to show that everybody else can be pretty cool too before we go back to being Wolverine is also kind of cool.
Well, because also the original show, Wolverine was the main character, easily, without a doubt. And this has given other people time to shine.
Yeah. I said, I fucking love this episode. Because I also think something this show did that they wouldn't have done in that version is I don't think it skimps on the horror gimmick. Like,
no.
I think there's legitimately some pretty fucking weird shit in this episode.
The one where Magneto and Rogue are melting into each other, that was kind of horrifying. Also, I don't think we've really discussed that in this it's revealed that Storm and Magneto have had a past relationship, and it's implied that Gambit's getting cucked, which good.
Yeah, Rogue and Magneto.
Yeah, Rogue and Magneto, right, yeah. Rogue and Magneto.
Yeah, Gambit definitely getting cucked. Because I think if there's another character that the 90s fucking tried to shove down our throats, it was Gambit. Yeah.
Honestly, if there's anybody that needs to be cucked, it is Gambit.
But also, if there's a character who's probably okay with getting cucked, it's probably Gambit.
That's true.
And that raises the last episode, which is a two-parter.
Was fucking weird.
It was a strange choice that you knew you hadn't done anything else and you did in this one.
Well, particularly since the second part is the first part of a two-parter.
Yeah.
That's weird.
The first half is about Jubilee getting stuck in a video game and trying to make Jubilee cool. And I'm sorry, guys. It's just
absolutely not cool.
It's not going to happen.
I don't remember.
It's my most sexist opinion.
Is Jubilee a playable character in the X-Men beat-em-up
arcade?
Yeah,
that's part of the gag because the original beat-em-up arcade game was based on the first pilot from the X-Men, the Pride of the X-Men. So it has like Kitty Pryde and Nightcrawler and Colossus in it, and Dazzler.
Yeah, oh fucking Dazzler. There is a reference to
there is a Dazzler. Yeah, anyway, nobody would really play as Jubilee.
I think that first half is fine. I think it's fun, but I just would prefer any other X-Men be in it than fucking Sunspot and fucking Jubilee.
I did really like Mojo. Whoever was voicing it was having a fucking good time.
Yeah.
Well, I should say, I'm a mark for Mojo. That whole section of the X-Men, Longshot, that X-Men annual I talked about earlier, Arthur Adams drew it, and I'm a huge mark for him. I have everything he's ever drawn. And you know, he created that stuff. So there was no way I was not going to love that part.
Yeah, I just don't like those two characters.
I can feel that. I always thought that, you know, that Jubilee cock what Kitty Pryde. I'm more of a Kitty Pryde person.
And maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like they've really kind of diluted Sunspot as a character.
Oh, 100%. He should be way cockier.
Yeah. And then the back half is this very quick kind of Forge Storm dances with wolves thing. I would watch the full 30-minute episode on it. I'm not sure why that was only like 12 minutes.
That one also was a direct episode of an issue, and I was such a fucking mark for it. I never thought there'd be any way we would just get the issue of adaptation of any kind of the Storm loses her powers, her and Forge's romance issue. But we did. I loved it.
It is tough for me because everybody else in this fucking show talks like a person. And Storm talks like she's from the 1700s. And I wish that wouldn't keep happening, but it's just
it was that way in the original, too. That's just how Storm talks.
I don't like it.
I thought you would enjoy this one. You, Joseph, would enjoy this one because it had a very anime vibe, particularly when the adversary showed up.
Uh-huh.
If they would have maybe just lingered on him for about 3 minutes of like slobber running out of his mouth or something, it would have been a full on anime.
Well, we're gonna find out when we get the second half of this episode, maybe.
I mean, I don't have much else to say. I fucking like this show. I'm excited to keep watching it.
Yeah, I can't wait for more episodes. I'm glad it's successful. Glad there's gonna be more seasons. I honestly think they should consider cribbing a lot of these ideas. Maybe even putting some of these people in charge of their X-Men movies when they come about, because these guys get it.
They did fire the showrunner for apparently saying some obscene things on his OnlyFans account.
Mm.
Which, if you're making a Marvel TV show, why do you need an OnlyFans?
Right. And also, on an OnlyFans account, isn't everything legal?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
I think it's probably because he was also working for Disney.
I mean, that's true.
I like that is a statement of like what progressive politics is in 2024. It's not having an OnlyFans because, you know, bitch gotta eat. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But saying something offensive on your OnlyFans, that's the ticket.
I don't think we know for sure, but the internet speculation has to do this shit happening on OnlyFans.
Well, that is worrisome because maybe he is who brought all the horniness.
Yes. It's a very horny show.
Yeah.
So yeah, X-Men 97. At least two of us are right.
Yeah, look, it's very close to Transformers. It's an easy watch. I did it while I was working today.
There you go. I think that's it. Oh, Should they do this for other TV shows, like other Spider-Man, the animated series?
I mean, I hated the Spider-Man animated series way worse than I hated the X-Men series. I couldn't stand the way he said Aunt May.
Yeah.
Like, he suddenly became, like, an aristocrat with, like, a monocle, and he said, Aunt May! But man, that show did end on a cliffhanger.
They probably
should give it some service.
Yeah. Because it was Spider-Man Unlimited, right? He goes to the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember much else about it. But
I was so shocked when I found out that wasn't the same thing as Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, it was the same premise.
It's also the same, like, visual design, I feel like, but...
I mean, that show was 100%. Oh, man, Batman Beyond's making money being Spider-Man. Yeah. We're Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, you should watch Wolverine and the X-Men. That's a good fucking
show. That one is a solid show. And X-Men Evolution was good, too.
Yep. Yeah, and it had my boy Nightcrawler in it.
I know. That's probably why I liked it.
Yeah. Nightcrawler's supposed to be in this at some point. There's a figure of him.
Yeah. I hope he shows up. That's a character, again, that maybe it's just being a child of the 90s. I'm like, fuck, Nightcrawler's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Nightcrawler was my favorite when I was a kid.
Yeah. And that opening in X2 might be the best opening of a superhero movie ever.
It absolutely might be, yeah. It's really, really good, still.
One last thing. Yeah, these guys know that the theme is a banger.
Yeah.
Like, they're not confused. I'm surprised they even give you the option to speak.
If you skip it, you're a fucking asshole.
I agree, totally.
Did you skip it?
No, of course I didn't skip it.
Well, you can be an asshole.
No, here's the thing. I didn't like the show, but it's a great theme.
Yeah, it's a banger. Watch the show. It's fine.
It's majority consensus better than Transformers. But that's it for X-Men 97, the first four episodes. See, we didn't spoil the whole thing for you. You can go and watch the rest of it now.
There you go. That's kind of a good way to do it.
Yeah, there you go. What have we been watching the last bit, guys?
I ain't watched jack shit. I went on vacation with my kids. Do not recommend. Worse than Transformers.
Your kids or the vacation?
Vacation by itself, better than Transformers. Vacationing with my kids, worse than
Transformers. I like that idea. Like, vacation better than Transformers, kids better than Transformers. Vacation plus kids, worse than Transformers.
Correct. You think they're annoying at home, but putting them in a strange environment around thousands of other people with food they're not going to eat and complete strangers and shit that might kill them, not a good time.
Right.
And I left my anxiety medication at home, and that was a big mistake. I did, however, finish Dune Messiah. So for, like, the fourth out of the last six of these episodes, I'm going to fucking talk about Dune again. I have zero clue how they're going to adapt Dune Messiah in live action.
I think it's going to be in name only. I have a suspicion.
Because the last time, correct me if I'm wrong, when they did those sci-fi ones...
They was Children of Dune.
Yeah, they skipped right over it to Children of Dune.
Yeah. If anyone knows where to watch those sci-fi ones, let me know.
Okay.
Because I want to watch them.
I know that I saw some clips of them on a YouTube video lately, and man, those special effects are like PlayStation 1.
They're bad.
Yeah.
But it's James McAvoy.
James McAvoy. I think William Hurt is...
Susan Sarandon?
Yeah.
Is Lady Jessica?
Yes.
This feels like the purview of our friend podcast, Broke Box Office, because they have a much higher tolerance for watching grainy YouTube videos in like 22 parts.
Well, now when they do Children of Dune miniseries, I will be on episode.
Dude, I wonder for them, because I try to watch, you know, like some of those of like soap operas right now when someone will post it and put on change. And the camera's always changing, and I'm wondering if it does that on things like that, too, because I have not sat through 22 parts of Dune or whatever YouTube.
Yeah, I really don't know how they're going to adapt this. They're really going to... spoiler alert for Dune Messiah. Really going to ask a lot out of... Well, what's his butt? Aquaman, Jason Momoa.
Right.
And I don't know that guy's got it in him to play that character. And you're like, well, Christian, he died. Well, you gotta fucking watch the movie.
I think we've already talked about on this podcast that he's actually the only character that appears in every book.
Yes. And the other thing, there's a lot of people that, like, survive Dune that just don't show fucking up. So, like, Lady Jessica, fucking gone. Gurney Halleck, fucking gone. And that sucks because Rebecca Ferguson and Josh Brolin are fucking awesome in those movies.
They are so good. And Rebecca Ferguson at a press junket is awesome.
Yes. Well worth your time.
Yeah.
The way they end Dune Part 2 with Chani and Arulon just does not seem to set up at all the story that takes place. We'll get weird fucking fishmen, and that's all I want, is I just want a fucking guild navigator and Paul to be having a very serious conversation about politics. The other thing that's interesting about it is, like, I think so much of Dune, and you guys can correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think A Song of Fire and Ice kind of takes this as well, where, like, there's a lot of a lead up to the thing, not the thing, the immediate aftermath of the thing.
Right.
And Dune Messiah is a lot of that as the continuation, but instead of it being like, whereas I feel like Dune might pick up the immediate aftermath, it's like the conversation that happens 4 days later.
100%. Mm. Yes.
And I don't know that that's going to translate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's hard to adapt.
Denis has been pretty clear that he's not like a slave to the books. I get the impression he likes the basic premise of the story. I think he wants to tell, you know, the absolute power corrupts absolutely kind of thing. And all the other details are fluid in whatever form he wants to make it like the best thing possible.
I'm still excited to watch it, but I agree with you. I don't think you can make a direct adaptation of that book. I feel like Dune is a stronger, as complex and probably difficult as that one was. Dune Messiah is, I mean, it's a little more straightforward. Paul's a bad guy, but context-wise, I think it's harder to actually put on screen. But it's, as a book, it's better than Transformers. I had a good time. It's much shorter than Dune. Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Man, I'm also going to talk about something I've talked about for the last three times in a row, because I also didn't watch anything. The only thing I've consumed is wrestling. Nonstop wrestling. Old wrestling, new wrestling, podcasts about wrestling. I've just been on fire about wrestling.
WrestleMania XL.
This weekend!
This weekend.
My buddy Ed from the More Than Meets These Guys podcast, he is also a wrestling fan, but we have diametrically opposite tastes in wrestling. So right now, he's fucking out. Mm. He's like, I'm not watching any wrestling right now, whereas I'm more engrossed in it than I've been in years.
How did he feel about the Attitude Era? Because I feel like that's what this little section we're in is trying to pull. And not just because The Rock, but even like Cody Rhodes, like it feels like it's trying to pull that
drama. Oh, it's 100% trying to catch that magic. He liked that era of wrestling, but he probably, at that time, I can remember him saying, oh, I just enjoy reading results of Japanese wrestling better. Okay. But yeah, the Raw 2 weeks ago, best Raw in 20 years. You know, everyone should look up clips from the end of it. The Rock beats the holy living piss out of Cody Rhodes. It spills out into the backstage area behind the, behind the auditorium, and it's fucking raining, and it's so cinematic, and Cody's bleeding, and it's like, fucking wrestling. I'm so fucking excited about WrestleMania this weekend. I'm excited about the tag match. I'm excited about who's going to show up during the, because I think they win the tag match. You know, I think Rocky and Roman win the tag match. So it's anything goes for the title match. And I think we'll have some fucking fun cameos for that. So I'm fucking excited. I'm also really excited for Rhea and Becky. Rhea's my favorite thing going in wrestling right now, dude or lady. So yeah, right now, wrestling better than Transformers. You know, we'll see how I feel in a month about that, but right now, can't say enough good things about wrestling.
It's the most fun I've had with wrestling in a long
time. Right?
Yeah, like, I was a thing I watched as a kid, and then did not give a shit about. And then, like, the last couple of years, like, Kate's kind of gotten into it, so I've, like, watched it a little bit. And then, but, like, the last, like, 6 months has been, like, I fucking care.
Right. And I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a combination of Vince, you know, being out of there. You know, I'm not saying at one point Vince didn't know what he's doing, but he hadn't known what he was doing for a fucking decade. And it was time for him to go. Like, it seems like everybody's fired up about it. Everybody wants to be there and put on a good show. And I fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bummed out that nobody else is watching Invincible. Invincible's still good.
I'd forgotten it came back till you guys just mentioned it.
It's just such a commitment to fucking donate an hour of my time.
It is. The whole reason you watch a fucking cartoon is to not have to watch something that's an hour long, you know?
To be fair, when I started the first episode of this season, I forgot that it was an hour. And then by the time I made it, there's like, it was worth it. I feel good.
I had caught up because I think we had talked about wanting to do it. But that first episode took me four tries.
Yeah.
Because I was like, a fucking hour-long cartoon? No.
Maybe we'll talk about it more one day. I don't want to get into it. It's still better than Transformers, though.
Does it look better than the first half?
No, absolutely it doesn't look better.
The animation's so bad.
It sucks pretty bad. I watched Gran Turismo just because I wanted to the other day.
Right.
It's fine. It's a pretty good sports movie. It's just a sports movie with a kind of interesting concept.
I heard it was better than you thought it was.
Oh, like, no. It is like a perfectly competent, enjoyable.
Everyone I know who saw it was like, they're like, I had really low expectations. I walked out having fun.
Yeah. It's just so weird to watch a Neil Blomsky movie that isn't
sci-fi.
That isn't an allegory for class oppression or racial oppression in South Africa. It's just a movie about race cars.
Right.
But yeah, better than Transformers. I finish Mr. In-Between all the way through the third season.
Right.
Maybe it's because it's not breaking new ground. You know, it's not it's not like a brand new idea.
Right.
That it hasn't really taken off, but it's just a really good show.
Like, yes.
It's just, I think the last time I came in, I compared it to, I said like Sopranos Justified combo.
Right.
I'm going to steal an analogy from you, Hurt, from a long time ago.
Okay.
I feel like you used to say that Batman the Animated Series might be better overall, but Superman the Animated Series, every episode fucking hits.
Right, right.
I kind of think it's the same a comparison between like the Sopranos and fucking Mr. In Between.
I would 100% agree.
Every single episode is really solid. Yeah. And it's only the three seasons, but they're short seasons. So better than Transformers. Damon Harriman, who's Freddy in this, Dewey Crow in Justified. I don't know if he's got range, but if you need that like one kind of slimy bastard, right. I don't know that there's anyone who does it better than him. He's so fucking good at it.
And I guess he does have a range of slimy bastard.
No,
for sure. He's the underneath slimy bastard in Justified, and he's the on-top slimy bastard.
100%. Yeah. He's so fucking good at it.
Yeah.
And then I'm beating the shit out of a dead horse here just because I don't feel like my word has gotten out enough, but Frieren just finished 2-4 from you know, fucking November or October till now. It's fucking outstanding. I think in the same caliber of things as like your Avatars, your Full Metal Alchemists. It's the best fucking swords and sorcery thing since Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson. It fucking kicks. Particularly.
I know, like, my God.
Have you like kind of, because like, it is very loosely on kind of like a D&D mechanics. It's just real, real fucking good. And I can't wait for it to come back. And there's nothing that's going to fill that void in my heart for the next few weeks.
I'm sorry for everyone who listened to that because he said it exclusively for me.
Yeah.
It's just a thorn in my side.
But yeah, that's it.
I had a friend who was talking to me about the show the other day, and he was like, man, Nips, it's just the first half of the show is him talking about how he doesn't like whatever you all are talking about. And then the second half is him talking about anime. And this episode definitely ain't going to prove him wrong.
That is kind of my MO.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's it for this week. We're probably going to be off for a little while.
Taking a break.
Indeterminate amount of time. We'll see how it goes. But hopefully I will have staggered these out enough that we'll have figured something out in the not too distant future.
Yep.
But, yeah, thank you guys for listening. Please rate, subscribe, tell your friends about the podcast. If you have any thoughts about X-Men 97 or the original X-Men series or any other X-Men property, you can reach us at realphonies@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter, realphonies, on Instagram, real_phonies. Thanks to Zach Evans for art and Brian Velasquez for our theme. We'll see you guys later.
Later.
Oh, I should do that. My first time in Disney World, I do not remember how old I was. You have to ask my parents. Mm. I'm going to say like 6.
Right. It's
probably a good guess.
Yeah, it's fair age.
Somewhere around there. You know, we go to the Magic Kingdom because that's where you start. It's magical. It's beautiful. Everything is incredible. We walk around, you know, shops and stuff that are up front. And the first place we go is Tomorrowland. And first thing on the left of Tomorrowland, you know, Space Mountain's up there. I didn't want to do Space Mountain anyway. I didn't like roller coasters. But, you know, there's like other stuff. But the very first thing
Alien Encounter.
A little ride. It wasn't called that then. It was called Extraterrestrial.
Yeah. That's the scariest fucking thing that's ever been in a Disney park.
It's important to note that I don't know what it was like when you went there, because it's been through multiple iterations before.
It's just,
Exist anymore. Or does it still exist now? But originally, it was... essentially, like, you go into a room, and they're, like, gonna transport an alien for you to see, and then the alien escapes. But the alien in question is a very non-trademark, but very fucking close xenomorph from Alien.
Actually, what I thought the storyline was, it was a teleportation
thing. Yeah, that's
what
it is.
And the human, like, gets mutated. Is it an alien?
Again,
or is it a creature?
The first one...
It's fucking scary, no matter
what
it is.
When I went to it, it was the fucking xenomorph that was not a xenomorph, but it was
It runs under your chair.
It, like, breathes on your neck. It fucking sucks.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't sound good to me right now.
Yeah. So. And so we went to that, and, like, the whole time, like, I'm not great at reading, but even I'm picking up on signs that, like, this seems like it could be scary, guys. Yeah. They're like, no, it's gonna be fun. And then after that, I was like, I don't want to go into any. I don't fucking like Disney World. It sucks. Let's go home.
Yeah, they quickly changed that.
Yeah,
that was a crazy idea that made it all the way into the Magic Kingdom.
Yes.